Perfect. Okay. I show 6 p.m. on Monday, May 16th, 2016. We'll call the Village of Attleway Plan Commission meeting to order. We'll start with the roll call. Wheeler?
Here.
Dart?
Here.
Sment?
Here.
Nor?
Here.
And then we have Retzlaff.
Here.
And Kornowski is here. Okay, moving on to item number two, election of chair. I guess it's that time of the year again. It's been a year, right, Trevor? So we'll entertain nominations for the election of the chair.
I'd like to nominate Wes. Can I do that, Trevor?
You can.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Unless there's any discussion, is there discussion? Or does anybody have anybody else that they'd like to nominate? Okay, hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, it carries. Item number three, election of vice chair. There's anybody that wants to make a motion for a vice chair, certainly entertain that for the year.
I'd like to nominate Roger.
I'll second.
There's a motion and a second. Is there anyone else that wants to nominate? Okay, hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Roger's the vice chair. Item number four, modify or adopt the existing agenda. Are there any changes or modifications that the Plan Commission would like to see prior to adopting the agenda?
Move to adopt.
We have a motion.
I second.
And a second. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? So the agenda carries as written. Item number five, minutes from March 28, 2016. If anyone has any modifications, please voice their concern now. And if there aren't any, we can entertain a motion.
To approve.
There's a motion and a second. Any discussion or any other changes? Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Minutes carry. All right, number six, announcements. Are there any announcements from staff or you want to make some introductions on the Plan Commission? So I look like Brad's ready to go.
No, go ahead first.
Okay. So a couple of our new members, or one new member here, if you'd like to maybe just introduce yourself. And
My name is Lisa Sment. I live in the Alloy community with my family. I'm thrilled for this opportunity to be part of the Alloy Village Plan Commission, so thank you.
All right. Fantastic. Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Any announcements from any other Plan Commissioners? Okay. Brad, Trevor?
Just a couple. First of all, take the opportunity with several people in the audience to remind everyone of our farmer's market that will be beginning July 7th. And it's Thursday evenings starting July 7th through October 6th from 3:30 till 6:30. And it's in combination with the Belland property and the Village Hall. We're full with vendors, so it's a good sign. 7 produce vendors coming in?
Maybe 10.
So, big change from last year. And the other item is, I'm sure everyone has seen, but Quick Trip is progressing quite quickly, and scheduled opening is mid-July.
Okay. Any other announcements from Brad, Trevor, or anybody else in the Plan Commission?
One more. Galley 57 had reopened the old Mariner restaurant. It's now Galley 57, and it's open for dinner hour at this point.
All right, great. Thank you very much. Hearing no other announcements, we'll move on to item number 7, public appearances. Sure, there's a number of people in the audience today, and if you want to speak on a specific agenda item, we will plan on suspending the rules and letting you speak when that item gets presented. Rather than everybody kind of come up and say everything at once, we'd like to keep it specific. So if there's anyone that has a general concern or maybe something that's not on the agenda, certainly come up now, but you'll have the opportunity when we introduce the subject to come back up. So, up to you.
I don't go up either time.
You can, yeah. You can certainly come up if you'd like.
I will leave, so.
Sure.
Patterson 26268 South Webster Avenue. I'm interested in item number 9, although I'm not an immediate neighbor, I'm in Bartle Block and half down the street. But a couple of people know me, the rest don't. I've been interested in various affairs for getting close to 48 years, so, and it still continues. My overall, I first became aware about this proposal. I think it was Friday or Saturday, and inquired about what it was today. And my preliminary feeling is that it's extremely intensive use of a very small piece of property. It might be appropriate for that location. I'm not going to judge on that, but it's sort of way too many units, in my opinion. I would say that if the developer feels that Alloway is ready for more condos, I can think of a couple of places to be a lot better. One being the old Women's Hall site, the other is a former bishop's residence, and then the vacant land across Milltown Country. But for this one, I don't think it's an appropriate use. At least I've been rate that many units, but even multi-family there, I have a serious question about that. Thank you. Any questions of me?
I don't think so. Thank you very much. Okay, anybody else, if you'd like to come up and make some general comments? If not, again, you'll have an opportunity to speak on that specific agenda item as we move along. Okay, seeing no others, we'll move on to item number 8, action regarding final approval of petition from Old Chapel Hill Apartments, LLC, formerly Bishop's Hill Apartments, LLC, requesting plan development district on parcel AL-56-2, located at 1921 Riverside Drive. Is the petitioner here tonight?
Yeah.
Okay. If you'd like, if there's any additional comments, maybe Trevor, you want to kick it off?
Sure.
As far as...
Actually, I'm going to head up here. I'm going to walk through.
Maybe highlight any changes from
sure.
the previous.
The biggest changes from last meeting is this building up here was a 12-unit building. It's now down to 9. But the overall development is still 48 units. Because of the DOT requirements for the setback, considering the future expansion of the right-of-way here, we had to move this building back 8 feet, which then took up some of the green space. And as you noticed, there was some more green space here that was suggested for maybe something like a playground or a volleyball court or something like that. Unfortunately, because of the restraints of the site, that no longer will be able to be addressed. We're still working with the developer and addressing the stormwater issues. But we received something today that I think we're getting there. Other than that, really nothing drastic has changed. Oh, that's right. They did address that since the last meeting, the ingress egress that was here as well. All the other staff comments that are included are being worked on. But again, this site is a little over 2 acres, and because of that, and the narrowness of the site, again, just kind of limits as far as what can go there. But I believe that from what I heard this afternoon, the stormwater is almost there, and any changes shouldn't affect the overall site plan drastically. And then this is the red room. And the number here, the rectangle number, corresponds with the circle number. This is the entrance for unit number 2, so forth. But I'll let Keith, Garrett, and Steve are both here to talk a little bit more about the project.
Good evening, Steve Vita with Mile Associates. I'll just kind of run through some of the basics. Obviously, the plan has changed slightly since the preliminary design. That always happens. The key is we still have 48 units on the site, but I'll just kind of run through the site plan in general with kind of some of the highlights. Trevor, can I put back up your site plan?
It's the one to the furthest one on the right.
Right? Just to go through the site plan real quickly, we have a 48-unit project. You just saw the building. We have a very attractive building that's going to work well on this site. As Trevor mentioned, we did change this building from a 12 to a 9 just because of space issues. And then we also have a 9-unit building here. We have these two are 6-unit buildings. This is a 6-unit building, and this is a 12-unit building across the street frontage. The DOT did plan to take about 16 feet, actually, of this site up here, so it really compressed the site down from what we originally saw. We had lots of lush green space and all that, but part of the issue with the lush green space we had is this site has about 18 or 19 feet of grade from the east to the west as we come down that hill, which is going to make a great site. Some of our best sites have 20 or 30 feet of drop on them with multifamily projects, and they're great. Some of the buildings can see over the other buildings, so it really makes for a nice site. So this is going to be a really unique site. Preliminarily, we were talking about having 2 stormwater management facilities here, which are actually biofilters. It's a dry pond that allows stormwater to filter through. We have worked that out. There's actually going to be three of them. We will still have one here. We're going to have one between these buildings and one between these buildings. Slightly different than what we anticipated, but again, we haven't done the stormwater management or engineering on it. We do meet all your attorney requirements and radiuses for fire protection. We do have a horseshoe, kind of a through street going through here, so that we have adequate traffic flow back and forth, up and down the hill. As far as utilities, I don't think we need to get too far into utilities. Our engineers have been working with Craig, but we do have it pretty well figured out from a grading standpoint. Utilities are relatively easy to service the site. Obviously, we have 18 feet of grade, so sanitary sewer and storm sewer, getting the water out of there is not an issue. It's just a matter of slowing it down more than anything. Water utilities are there. There will be a couple of additional walls that we'll be having to have on the site just due to the grade, so in order to adequately accommodate for sidewalks and things like that coming through the site. We'll have some stairways in the site. We'll have a couple walls in the site too to manage some of that material that we have to deal with to eliminate some of that grade. But other than that, that's kind of the basic changes that were done to the site plan. Otherwise, the unit count is the same, the building design you just saw. Otherwise, the site fits together very well. As you know, we have the challenge with the big wall on the east end of this thing, the way this is going to work out. Originally, we thought about doing a garage up there, but we've since changed that because of the DOT forcing the 16 feet at one end, what we had to give on the other end. So we don't have the additional garage up here that we were hoping to do at one point. But we did add a couple of two-stall garages to some of the units. We were able to do some of that. But so overall, it worked out very well. We're pretty happy with William at home. So if you got any questions of me, site plan, design, engineering, sort of environment. So.
I think what I'm seeing here is that there is a sidewalk on the southern edge of the property. And what's the width of that sidewalk?
If it would be a city sidewalk in a city right of way, typically they're 5 feet. Internally, we'd probably go a little narrower.
Is this going to be constructed as a private sidewalk or as a public sidewalk?
I don't know if we have that 100% worked out. That is in the public right of way. I don't know if I have an answer for that one yet.
Okay.
So I don't know if one of the guys can answer along East West St. Joseph's.
Right. That is an area. That street is scheduled to be reconstructed in the next 5 years or so.
Sure.
Discussing with Public Works and Parks. In our corridor study, it calls for the Arboretum Trail to go through there. So there'd be implementation of trees and everything. We're still trying to work out whether or not what that will look like as far as the trail, the size, the scope, because we don't know those details yet. We're not requiring the sidewalk to go in with this project. It will go in. It is scheduled to go in some capacity when the road is reconstructed, whether it's a trail or a sidewalk.
Sure. And since it's already on the plan and it's in concept, discussions around a cash in lieu of construction or something similar to that, something to explore at the next level of approval after this.
I think it is a discussion that will be the cost that the village would bear put that sidewalk in.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions for consultant engineer?
How much guest parking is being provided?
There are a few additional guest parking stalls on the site, but otherwise the guest parking would primarily be on West St. Joseph.
Okay. How much, do you know how many guest spaces?
I didn't ever really calculate how many could be accommodated on there, though.
So there's 12, like, for each unit. Like, this one's got 9, this is 6, 6, 7.
The overall site is about 515 feet, taking into account we can't park, obviously, right at the corner. You can park a car about every 20 feet, so if it was 400 feet, you could probably do just about 5, but, you do have some driveways and cuts in there, so there's going to be probably, close to a stall per unit there along the road.
What are the little orange strips in the paved area?
Orange strip in the paved area?
The colored orange strips, stripes. In the
that would be some sort of a barrier to break up the asphalt.
It would just be a breakup of the asphalt. It would be some other type of material, probably.
And are those
right
located where the back doors to the units are?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. That's John from our associates. That's my current name.
For the internal sidewalks in the eastmost nine-unit building, what's going on with the sidewalks in front of it? It looks like you've got kind of duplicate sidewalks, and then you lack any pedestrian access to St. Joseph's.
Right. Actually, right adjacent to that, let me just jump over to the this one might clearly point it out a little bit better. You have a wall. We have a wall. There's from here to here, there's about 6 feet of grade difference, so this darker black line here is actually a wall. Obviously, you see stairways throughout here, obviously accessing the units. But this would be a stairway on an upper level. Or, I'm sorry, a walkway on an upper level. This would be a walkway on the lower level. That's why you have to see a duplicated sidewalk. You just have a grade difference there that we have to accommodate.
But can you provide a pedestrian access to St. Joseph's in that building?
Right,
you got access
here? No, this is the big wall that surrounds this site. So, no, we actually have to come down the walkway here and need access right here. The wall is close from about 15 or 18 feet high down to 2. So really, there's no way to access directly from this upper area at all directly to St. Joe's. They'd have to come down the pavement and come access the sidewalk area.
So pedestrians would have to walk through the drive lanes.
Yeah, they'd have to come in from the public sidewalk right here up this drive lane. It didn't make a lot of sense to put another sidewalk there because there won't be a lot of traffic. There's only 9 units here, so this isn't a heavily trafficked, you know, driveway, I guess I'll call it. So we didn't feel the need.
Aside from the garbage receptacle that's in that corner, the
yeah.
garbage
is
area
that
in
is
that corner?
Yes. This is the trash receptacle here. We have several sites that I have.
So will a lot of people be driving out in the morning with their garbage in their car and stopping there and walking over there? And
yes, sir. They'll pull out there, they will park, turn around, and then leave.
And you have enough space for that to happen?
Yeah, I have other sites that we've done. One in particular is about a 320-unit site. We have one trash facility in the whole entire 200-unit project. With that one, we do have a turnout lane where they actually can park a walkway right into the facility, which is very similar to this. They go park right there, drop their trash, turn around, and leave. So we tried other locations for the trash facility, but because of the grade in this site, no matter where I put it, somebody was overlooking the trash facility. So the reason I have it there is because it's against that wall, and the wall is so high that it seemed the least intrusive to any of the neighbors, including our own new tenants in.
I'm just concerned about how remote this particular unit is and the fact that there's no marked pedestrian course out to St. Joseph's. If you could, that would be a great thing to be able to fix somehow. Now, as far as water flow through the paved area, how will you be collecting the water?
This is probably a good one to.
It's either the first or the third one. That's utility, so it's first one.
The trash and the biofilters?
Yeah. This is kind of the center of the site. The stormwater system, this is a storm sewer catch basin right here, storm sewer catch basin right here. There's an inlet right here, so the storm system will come across here. These two will be connected together back down to here and out, and there's also a storm sewer over here. But for the most part, we're transitioning the stormwater into these biofilters here. These are basically shallow green spaces that will be planted with materials to essentially dry out the water. It will filter into the ground also, depending on the type of soil we have in there, but those will be the stormwater management system. We didn't really want wet ponds on the site. It is an infill or a redevelopment. The site is totally paved now, so there are some relaxed requirements as far as taking a site from a totally paved site to a redevelopment. So we're able to do biofilters in this case because it's essentially paved to paved, and you're kind of doing the same thing. But
so your catch basins will be in landscaped areas,
rather,
so you won't have these big depressions in the paved area.
There may be, I think, over here, this one here will be a catch basin, but it's going to be an oversized catch basin, so that will be a depressed area. Obviously, we have to collect the water down there. We can't, again, we have so much grade here, we have to eventually have one, in the pavement.
What kind of plantings go in the biofilter?
I don't know if I have the quote of my fan, but I have, I wish I had a picture. I have pictures in my phone, they take too long to find, but I don't usually do the planting designs, but they'll plant plants that can live in the water type environment, but yet they'll soak up the water and use it essentially. They're usually plants that are high water users, I guess I'll call them.
So, in an overall plant, does that count as green space?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Usually there are wood chips on the bottom.
Has Chris reviewed the plan since it's changed and we lost that hunk of green space?
Chris or Craig?
Chris. Chris Parks. I'm asking Trevor.
Chris had reviewed the plans that you received. These plans actually differ slightly because the space between the two center buildings, the four center buildings, is a little wider. I haven't seen revised landscape plans. I'm not sure if
because there weren't many trees there to begin with. I'm not sure if
it's necessary
to vote there very much, but we certainly want that before you vote for it.
Yes. And it was. Are we looking at this tomorrow at the village board?
No.
This oh, okay.
Should be June 7th.
So we can put that in.
Right. We have to do a public schedule a public hearing.
Okay. Okay.
To the meeting, so.
So Chris will review it before that time.
Correct.
Would you just reiterate what the main reasons are that you had to go through the PDD process for this development rather than just a normal site plan review?
I guess I'm not certain why we had to do the PDD. Typically, you can just do multifamily zoning. We could have done it that way. Mm-hmm. I think PDD gives you guys a comfort level and maybe your staff when Keith came in with it. It gives you guys the ability to work with us on the project as opposed to if you just give the zoning, we can do whatever we want kind of a thing. A PDD gives a little bit more control of the village and between the developer and the village. So,
is that the case, Trevor? So, or was there are there some particular aspects that were relieving requirements for?
I would echo Steve's comments, but also add that the narrowness of the site and the grade of the site was such that, you know, some of the setbacks are 15 or 14 feet from mm-hmm. the property line. Typical for a multifamily is 30. But our comprehensive plan does call for closer setbacks. Our corridor study in this area did call for this level use with closer setbacks in that area as well.
You don't have a picture of the backs of the buildings? Do you? Will the how will the materials change around the backs of the buildings, or will they be maintained pretty much in the same way?
I don't want to keep answering those questions about the building.
Thank you.
Thanks.
The materials in the back will carry the same thing as the front here, as far as the amount of stone and the amount of. It's all hardy plank siding, okay. No vinyl.
I think the elevations have improved since we're replying than they were before. So.
We like them too. They're actually in three pods of three. If you see one, two, and three, there's one unit on the first floor, and number two is a flat on the second floor, and number three is a loft. And it carries through. So this is a nine unit, so there's three lofts. Three first floor units and three flats on the second floor.
The loft units, I was looking at the plans, I'm not quite getting it, but is it like the second story is the base of the loft and then the loft is above
yes.
that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Looks like we have some interest from the audience to. Well, after we get done, ma'am, we'll discuss this a little bit, and then we can open it up for comments if you want to comment on this particular project. I don't really have anything else, unless anybody else does, discussion regarding the project. I think it really looks pretty good. Mm-hmm. A lot of good improvements the last time we talked, and
thank you.
It's coming along really nicely. It's really neat.
Okay.
Yeah, you're good. Is there anybody else that has any comments? I guess at this
suspend the rules.
Yeah, at this point, I'll take a motion to suspend the rules. Okay, we got a motion. We have a second. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, ma'am, you can come up and speak now.
I have to come.
Yeah. And please state your name and your address. So we can.
Good evening. My name is Mary Ellen Beyer, and I live at 2556 South Webster Avenue. I'm just wondering if there's garages there or if it's all outside parking.
There's garages. Yep.
There are garages there.
Yep.
That's all I wanted to know.
Well, we're glad we could answer that question. That's an easy one.
That was
one.
Easy.
Yeah. Okay. Are there any? Thanks. Oh, come on.
I'm the same person that I was a minute ago. I hadn't intended to speak, and I don't want to muddy the waters. I'm just inquiring whether it's feasible or whether it's considered at all whether to negotiate an easement to the north and provide additional driveway. I don't know if it's a good idea or not, but it occurs to me that, it could alleviate some of the traffic off of St. Joseph's. So you can ask the
sure.
people. That's a good idea. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, oh, looks like we got another. Okay.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'd like to see this committee revisit the sidewalk issue on St. Joseph Street. We are in the process of trying to make Alloway a more walkable community, and they're giving us very high density in homes over here, and I think that the people in the condominiums next door and the people in this particular apartment complex will need a way to walk both down to the Fox River Trail and up to the proposed new city center on Webster Avenue. So we need sidewalks now, not maybe 5 years from now. Thanks.
Thank you.
Trevor, what you had mentioned about the planning for the street edges of the project, that nothing much has been done so far. We're kind of waiting for the Riverside project to move forward and redevelopment of St. Joseph or repaving of St. Joseph Street in the past. Isn't it possible to do some concept planning for this Arboretum Trail that was recommended along here so we can have some expectation and maybe provide, you know, if nothing else, a crushed gravel path so that it's easier for people to walk along there? Just where's the village with that?
We're actually collecting estimates for a concept plan for that stretch of St. Joseph. It would include the Arboretum Trail as well as the Webster Avenue St. Joseph intersection, and kind of plan out. It's not an approved project yet, but we are collecting estimates. It was discussed at a village board meeting on
2 weeks ago.
The reason why, you know, whether we put a sidewalk or a trail there, we don't know that at this time. So it didn't seem fair to have the developer pay for a sidewalk if our intentions are to put a trail there, or vice versa. And that's why it's not being done now, but it is being planned for in the future.
Do you have any idea when you say in the future, how far out in the future?
The road technically is scheduled to be reconstructed in 2018, so it could be pretty soon. But that could change too. I'd say within the next 5 years, it would be probably for certain.
So St. Joseph's would be done before Riverside?
Correct.
I'm kind of in that camp with Roger too. You know, 5 years, it makes sense. It makes sense to wait for to construct something that's going to be permanent, but at the same time, 5 years is 5 years. You know, it's not next year. It's a ways out. So if there wasn't a solution, I think, and that's maybe what Roger's getting at, in the meantime, there's going to be a lot more residents in that area in the next 2 years. And then to wait another 3 years before they have any pedestrian facility on West St. Joseph, maybe there's something that could be done. I'm not saying it has to be a permanent fix, but some collaboration with the developer to figure something out.
I think safety factor alone, that there's got to at least be, like you were saying, a temporary fix.
Okay. Seeing there's no other public comments on this section, we can take a motion to return to regular session.
So moved.
Is there a second? Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, motion carries. We are back into regular session to take action on item number 8. If there are any questions or concerns or anything else that anybody has, please voice them now. Otherwise, I'll entertain a motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
Motion. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a second? Okay. A motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the motion carries. It's approved.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, moving on to item number 9, action regarding preliminary approval of petition from Lakeshore Development, LLC, requesting plan development district on parcels AL-1148 and AL-1148-1 located at 2550 South Webster Avenue. How we'll work this out for right now is maybe we'll have Trevor make some comments regarding the overall project, and then we'll open it up to the public if there's any comments after we've had a chance to digest it a little bit.
Here, actually, I just want to start out. The developer had something come up. He was saying if they want to make it tonight. But this is this is about a 1 acre size lot. What's being proposed is a 17 unit, 62 and older condo unit or building. Slab construction, one story, there'll be heated floors, and access will be provided on Mark Avenue and Webster Avenue. Just to clarify with this PDD process, this is the first of potentially 4 meetings that would take place to review this. There's a lot of details that aren't known, and that's not just because we're not doing our due diligence, it's because this is preliminary. Tonight, it's more or less the concept of condos at that site, more than where something's going to go. Something to note with this site, it has been vacant for some years now, primarily because of the body cul-de-sac that is on the property. You'll notice. You'll notice there's a plotted cul-de-sac right here. The village's policy is whoever purchases this property would have to put that cul-de-sac in or something comparable, which also means bringing utilities here. Stormwater currently ends here. I think water ends here. Sewer ends about here. So there's a significant amount of cost to the land in order to make it buildable. Currently, I think the property is listed about 77. Don't quote me on that. That's for both parcels here. Estimates, they've ranged to bring those utilities and bring them up here, but the one estimate was $80,000. So then you're talking about $150,000 just for a piece of land. To put it bluntly. So that's...
Can I just ask a question so I'm clear on what I'm looking at? Is that the cul-de-sac that's already there? Or is that...
It actually dead-ends right here.
Okay. I know it's dead-end there, but I didn't remember it was a cul-de-sac.
Right.
So it dead-ends there, and there'd have to be that cul-de-sac area.
Correct. So that's been the delay, why this, at least I've heard from the property owner, and that's why she hasn't been able to sell the property. I met with the developer this afternoon and brought up the issue of possibly reducing the density. He indicated that 17 is really the number that would make it feasible for him. If we wanted him to do 8 or 9, which would make it feasible, it would mean bringing utilities to that site, which isn't a typical village practice. So, I guess if there's any questions, I know this is pretty tight. This is a 10-foot setback, which is not our typical setback, hence the PDD process. But it is part of being transparent that when we receive an application, we have to send it through the process. We can't deny them at staff level.
Okay.
So
that's okay. Given this, you know, I think we've all had a chance to kind of review the plan, and you know, it's our duty to review the plans. And since there's no representation here from the developer, there's a lot of complexities that go along with this type of density. It's in my mind that this should be denied. Without too much time spent by us. I do not believe that this project is going to move forward. Or if there is there an interest to move it forward, since there is no representation here from the petitioner. That being said, certainly chime in with whatever you guys feel, but that's the way I'm kind of looking at this right now. We can talk about this. There's probably 100 different items on the site plan that we can discuss. And yeah. That we can discuss.
I think all those people out there would like to discuss them, but
it's really necessary. We can certainly do that, and if that's something that we feel like we want to do, my gut tells me this is not going anywhere.
The project is too big for the site, if you ask me. There's just not going to be enough room, and I can't see changing the setback for these people, for this property, just so these can get stuffed on there. I don't really think that's right.
As presented.
I agree.
So there's really, I don't feel there's a path forward. Right now I recommend that we, you know, make a motion to deny as presented this evening. If they want to come back with a different concept, that certainly is up to the village board what they decide at the next meeting. But
can I ask just one question? Why is this an age-restricted development?
The developer thought that it would match well with the neighboring McCormick home here, as well as the St. Matthew's Church.
When the old people go to church?
He was hoping that they would be able to walk. And then there's a nearby playground at St. Matt's that the children, if they visited, could use.
I think the plan, the idea, the concept is nice. They're very small units, and you know, so I like the idea. I just don't like how it's stuffed on that piece of property or the layout of that. I do like the idea of having those very small condos for older people, especially if there's only one person in the family.
It's too big for Alloy in that little area.
It's too big for that location.
Mm-hmm. It's a narrow piece property.
Mm-hmm.
The property does fall off quite a bit. You talked about the cul-de-sac being required. Is that compliant with the requirement, what they're showing?
Speaking with Public Works and the fire department, this would meet address the issue there.
Okay. And would public travel through that driveway be permitted? It would probably occur.
It would occur.
So it would be necessary for that to have be more than just a automobile driveway in that case.
We had talked about, or I had mentioned to the developer potentially putting some bollards here or something to kind of block that off, but so it's just open for fire use. But then the issue came up of public works and plumbing, and where are they going to turn around? Because although this stretch would be privately maintained, they still wouldn't be able to turn around there, which they currently do not turn around to back up.
Do you know how much elevation change there is on this site?
About 11 feet.
And so they were going to do that with a couple of flat slab buildings?
Well, he had said that this would step, so there'd be about foot spacing in between each building.
They're not individual buildings.
Yeah.
It would be more like townhouses.
Yeah, that's not what they showed. That's
right. Right. Because this was just preliminary, he showed us renderings of what the concept would look like, or what it's actually going to look like. It has certain elements, and if you have pictures in there of a similar project he did elsewhere.
Well, I kind of agree with Wes, and I would like to go in that direction.
Yeah. It sounds like there's some concurrence as to, I guess, the lack of completeness of the proposal and no representation in us believing that the project probably isn't right for the site. However, the sticky part is we would like to hear comments from the public. You guys all did come out here tonight. Again, with the impression that this will most likely not pass. I can't say that with certainty, but that's the way that it's leaning right now. But we certainly want to hear from you since you took the time to come out. So I'll take a motion to suspend the rules.
So moved.
Is there a second? There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Anyone in the audience, you're certainly welcome to come up and address the Plan Commission.
I just wanted to comment on the process quick. It sounds like it's going to be denied. Either way, if it's approved or denied tonight, it will go to the Village Board on June 7th.
Right. Exactly. So even though that's the direction it's probably going to go, it wouldn't hurt to get a couple of comments on the record so the Village Board can also hear those. Sure. Just please state your name and address.
Kurt Lefebvre, 2515 Martha Avenue. The only thing I would add to this is that be cautious of a proposal that comes in. This one is stated as condominium apartments. There's a huge difference between a condo and apartments. Second, is when the petition calls for senior apartments 62 and over, there's no bylaw, there's no alleyway ordinance that would be binding to Lakeshore, to that promise. And my experience moving in from Green Bay, I was on the board member of Navarino Neighborhood Association. So in situations like this, we often found that developments were pitched as 62 and older, and then once they were built and they found that the demographic wouldn't fill the vacancies, they opened up that apartment to anybody. And a lot of times it was Section 8 rental assistance. So when you're considering things, keep that in mind for our neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening again. I'm Mary Ellen Beyer, 2556 South Webster Avenue, which places me right here. Okay. I'm wondering, if that went forward, we may be putting up privacy fence. How close to our lot line would they come? I mean, I feel like they'd be, like, right on top of us. especially since we've lived in this house for years with nothing there. I'm not opposed to any kind of environment for elderly people. And I'm thinking maybe they should just do two units that are a few stories with it, but if you put an elevator in, it'd become very expensive. But they have to consider, that's a lot of small units jammed into. When I was standing out there this afternoon looking at it, trying to figure out how in the world they would put a road in on the north end of that property where they're showing it, and it just seems totally unfeasible. I can't see it at all. But it would definitely, I mean, privacy-wise, we'd be looking right into their living space. And are they going to have any backyard space? Are they going to have patios? Are they going to... They're not answering any questions with the presentation. So...
It is the preliminary design, so they wouldn't have any of those details in at this time, but...
And I know they did have... They showed garages, and the design is very poor for Old Alloway. Because this is Old Alloway we're talking about. So they have to do something a little more upscale. Definitely. Thank you.
Thank you.
You like daring me to go, Jeff? I was with Matt Gell, 2539 Martha. Since we're all pointing, I'll go point as well. That'll be right here. So, just while I'm here, I'll just talk really loud. I don't know if the recording is it only in the mic, or you should pick it up. So, just sports math-wise, Mary Ellen, you just talked about it's 10 feet right here based on the plan. That would make this little line with my magnifying glass about a foot and a half, maybe 6 inches or so. So just something to think about. And then there's drainage and runoff and all that fun stuff that if I read my 1125 the right way, we have to wait until later to see those plans. I'm not sure how that works. But I guess, Trevor, I have a question for you based on a comment you said. You know, you had recommended to potentially move it down to 9, and then you talked about bringing utilities in. Can you go into more detail about what that would mean? I guess I got lost because I see utilities planned on there, in the drawings at least, and I guess it's maybe a responsibility thing. I don't know if you can address that further based on that comment that you made.
Right. I think if there were going to be utilities moved or brought into the property, that the developer would have to pay for those utilities.
Okay. So if it was 17, they wouldn't, but if it was 9, they would?
No.
I thought that's what I heard you say.
No, the developer said that if he was going to decrease the density, the only way it would be feasible to do that project would be to... if the village participated in bringing the utilities to the site, which is not currently.
Oh, I got you. Okay. My misunderstanding. Then just, I know preliminary drawings again. I'll just talk really loud. You know, he talks about, or they talk about the space here. There is no space in the preliminary plan, just to say that again. Deception is kind of something that I think about with this plan. We look at this initially and we said, there's not 17, there's only 9. They're just, you know, given kind of a numbering system. You kind of have to zoom in to see. This is green space, right? They're showing green space. Each of these green spaces are actually buildings. So to me, that's maybe the most deceptive thing. Not that I'm a plan professional, but that's super deceptive. I mean, there's every single tree on this property, except over here in the upper, well, actually that'd be gone too. Maybe that one here. But literally every single tree, and there's not many down the middle, 3 maybe, every single tree would be gone. Every single tree. And I didn't see, maybe I didn't look in detail enough, and maybe they don't, it's not required as of yet, but there's not a single tree in the plan. I know that's later on as well. Just in terms of plans and the process, I'm an amateur to this, but the application, is it a part of public record? Can we request that public record and everything? It's not something, can we just come in, or do we have to go through the process, or how does that work?
Yeah, it's public.
Okay, so we can apply for public record. I kind of debate... You know, hearsay is what it is. You know, I know the family that's part of the development group. And so, it's a little upsetting, I guess. But. The timing of this is just really interesting to me, how the meeting was on a Monday, you know, gets sent out on a Tuesday. And I know it's not a big deal in the end if you guys are going to do what you're doing anyway just because of the ridiculousness of this. But I actually talked to one of the employees, or upper, you know, one of the Johnsons, as I drove up Green. And I had heard some rumors from Mark Roberts when he came over, just about plans and the like. And again, to deception, one of the you know, members, again, this is my story, so it is what it is, but I said, oh, Dean, you guys gonna, and I didn't even know Lakeshore was a part of it until we got the letter on Friday. Again, meeting on Monday, it looks like it got sent out on Tuesday, we got it on Friday for a Monday meeting. Dean, you and your dad gonna develop that land over there? I know you've been talking about it, you know, father of children in my child's class. And he said, no, that's too skinny, we would never do that. Oh, no way, nobody's ever going to build on that. That's too skinny, we haven't thought about it for a while. So, just a data point, obviously hearsay, obviously me telling my story, but a little disappointed there. I don't know that there's that much more. I have all kinds of questions on more detailed plans, just in terms of the meeting and the process and that kind of thing. And, you know, in terms of your letter, Trevor, just understanding the process, whether that's even part of the process for you to make recommendations versus having the planning commission see the plans first and have them make recommendations with you. I just don't know that process. And following up with some of the members of different committees and the like within Alloway, they hadn't even seen these plans as of Sunday, potentially. So that's just a little disconcerting in terms of the process. I'm just really concerned from a deception perspective. We've been expecting development here for years. I mean, we bought the house 11 and a half years ago, and we fully expect at least three houses to be there at some point. Somebody puts a cul-de-sac in, but you know, no matter whether it's 9 or 17, when you do, again, that sports math that we talk about, just the intensity of what's on there, and the, you know, just in terms of how many people, how many, you know, bedrooms, bathrooms, all the questions Jeff will bring up if he, Dr. Jeff Yumming, if he comes up today, all kinds of detailed information for later on in terms of traffic and the width of Martha Avenue, and just situate issues we have today from a parking perspective is just crazy to begin with. So just as a side note, I guess, if everything's on record, I mean, just even no parking on one side of the street kind of thing at any point in time when this goes up would be huge. So I don't know that I have too much more if it's going to be detailed, but just compatibility and some of the economic studies of the whole thing. You know, I'd just be totally intrigued to understand how this is actually viable, and, you know, and Kurt spoke to, you know, what these plans can become based on, you know, zoning regulations and details and policy and code and the like. So just concerns that we have there too. I mean, we're excited to have neighbors. We're excited to have potentially three single-family homes there. I think it'd be exciting. It'd be exciting to have a cul-de-sac and the like, but I just, obviously we're all pretty fired up to have everybody come here. Thank you guys for the time. Appreciate it. And thank you.
Jeff Young, 2522 Martha Avenue. I had sent an email to the village trustees, including an email or a link to the proposal on the planning committee's website, and asking them if they had were aware of the proposal, and they were not. And the village president was kind enough then to instruct Trevor to then send you the list of my concerns to each one of you. So is it safe to assume that each one of you have those concerns? Therefore, one of my questions would be, you have it in writing, but does it still need to be stated, or should it be stated and read into the public record? You know, do I need to go through the process of stating all these bullet points or asking these questions publicly so that they're in the public record?
We can submit these into the record as written.
Okay.
So to save yourself from going through, I mean, the bullet points have been read.
Just as long as, you know, they don't somehow lose force by not being, you know, actually read at the meeting.
Same force.
Great.
Absolutely.
One of the questions that I had, because I don't know the process very well, so I need to be educated. I think all of us would be appreciated to be educated here. So when it comes to zoning, that parcel is zoned residential A. It's not a high-density district. It's not a PDD district. So my question is how is it that we're even looking at doing this on a residential A zone property, and how does the PDD then circumvent the zoning ordinances and the zoning map?
Sure. Do you want the 10,000-foot view first? because of the way that the parcels are, we're organizing, or the developer is proposing an organization of parcels to develop as one versus just developing on one parcel. So that triggers a PDD type event right there in itself. And then Trevor, you can get into more detail on, you know, other factors, but given how the site is, the narrowness, the uniqueness of having two parcels that you need to bring together and you have any access really out onto Webster Street, that was kind of, I'm speaking for the developer since he's not here, but that, for our discussions, was kind of the impetus as to why this would be a PDD, and most likely will be in the future, I would imagine, unless somebody purchases that parcel and decides not to develop it, the one that's more interior.
Well, originally our understanding of the two lots, I mean, there's two, you know, parcels that with, if the cul-de-sac were installed, that you would have the back parcel become a single family dwelling with access to the cul-de-sac. You would have then the just east of the cul-de-sac would be another single family dwelling with access to the cul-de-sac. And then farthest east next to Webster would be a third parcel where there would be a third single family residence with driveway access to Webster. But that's basically ideally how this was all supposed to,
yep,
you know, be developed should that occur.
And that won't require PDD. Someone could come in and do that tomorrow.
But again, it's a process request. How can somebody even request a PDD for something that's zoned single family residence? I mean, do you understand what I'm saying? It shouldn't even, sure, be. It's like you can't, it's single family residence. You can't put 17 condos on a single family residence zoned piece of, or parcel. I guess I'm a skeptical, cynical sort of guy. You know, and I look at this and I'm looking at, you know, maximum revenue for the developer, you know, as far as let's get the biggest bang for our buck that we can. And, of course, you know, that also means tax revenue for the village. I don't begrudge you guys that, but, you know, I guess, you know, again, my cynicism, my glass half empty sort of personality kind of makes me look at it that way. So, process issue. Trevor, the memo to the village board, there's a couple of lines in here that I don't understand, so perhaps you can help me. Under planning development district process, there's a line in here about a deviation. Deviation from the zoning code should be to promote a development that is innovative in design, character, and quality. So my first question is, who makes that determination? My second question would be, how does this process meet that requirement? In the next paragraph, it says, the last sentence is, whether or not the proposed project would be consistent with the purpose, spirit, and intent of the village plan or comprehensive plan, other village development plans, and the purpose defined in the village ordinance 1125-C. Same question, who makes that determination? Who says that this plan is consistent with the village plan. A couple other, I guess, perhaps minor points, because I don't have to read my list. Preliminary PDD review staff comments. This is 2A. I don't know if you want to go to it, or I can just talk about it, but because you guys will know where it is. Under zoning department review, again, bullet point number 3, the use isn't allowed in existing use in the surrounding properties. Again, I question how a multi-unit complex, how the zoning committee can say that, because it's all residential A zoning. So how can they say that it's in existing use in the surrounding properties? Another clarification, a couple of bullet points down, concerning the fire department, said, should the drive configuration meet the fire department and public works standards, portions of the existing right-of-way will need to be vacated prior to building permit being issued. What does that mean, vacating the right-of-way? Does that mean property needs to be purchased from existing property owners? Does that mean just clearing of shrubbery and trees? I would like, you know, clarification somewhere along the line from the developer or from the zoning committee on that statement. I think also, as Matt pointed out, there is a grade, you know, from Webster down to McCormcombe. It is deceptive that these all look like individual units, and they're not. They're two buildings. one building will hold 9 condos, the other building will hold 8. And it's all, it's kind of like a, you know, you're like 2 bars, you know, a piece of wood and a piece of wood with a little space in between. So unless you they have a different plan, or unless they're actually going to bring in, you know, soil to raise the back of the property by an apartment home, I don't know how this is feasible. And then last but not least, of course, the fact that the idea of the old Alloy concept, you know, the provincial parochial nature of the neighborhoods, it should be on the historic registry. It's, I guess it's something, it's not, maybe it's something we need to look at. But certainly the concept and what we have in front of us flies in the face of anywhere near approaching, you know, respect for the surrounding architecture. So, thanks.
Thank you.
All right, so I have a few comments. Do you want me to address those very way, or I've grown down?
I don't think that we need to go point by point. I think that what we're trying to get across here with the process is, and we'll, maybe we'll answer a lot of these questions, is the plan commission is going to make a decision tonight on the, you know, whether it adheres to the comprehensive plan and some of those other comments that you made. And then after our decision tonight, it goes to the village board for their decision based on our recommendation. So Trevor compiles all the information, we review it, and then we make the decision. So I guess along that vein, I don't know that there's a lot of value in getting into the specifics of the site plan right now, just because don't necessarily see a bright future for it. So I don't know if there's anything else, Trevor, that you wanted to specifically address, but that, I think that was kind of the gist of your of the comments, kind of how the process worked and who makes the recommendation. It'll be us, and then it'll go to the village board, and you'll certainly have the opportunity to address the village board at that time, depending on if there's any changes. Given that there's no representation tonight, I would assume there probably won't be. So,
I think it would be important if Trevor would just speak on process a little bit so people understand, because
sure.
I think, you know, some people are thinking Trevor in a bad light, and I certainly don't want that to happen. So if Trevor would just talk on the process so people understand how that works.
Sure. What a PDD is it's an overlay zoning. So it takes the current zoning that is there, so a residential, or in the case of the previous development, the apartment project, that was zoned commercial. So that's an overlay on top of what's currently there, what the currently zoned is. As a property owner, you have every right, no matter what your zone is, to petition the village to a PDD. My job is to then relay all that information to the Plan Commission, which the Plan Commission then interprets the comprehensive plan. And they make their recommendation to the village board, which then they make the final determination whether or not that is consistent with the comprehensive plan. So this is just the first of 4 public meetings, potential public meetings, that in the process, and the process is designed for public input. We haven't made any determination as far as where this project is going to go. That's kind of the point behind the public meeting. It wasn't our intention to hide any information or anything. We received the information and we sent it to the Plan Commission and we make it public. Actually, statutorily, we're not even required to do informational notices. The only time we're supposed to notice statutorily to adjacent property owners is the final of the 4 meetings, but it's our intention to be as transparent as possible. The use, the surrounding use, the McCormick home is a multifamily home right here. Its use is similar. It's not zoned multifamily, but the use is there. So I guess purpose of this meeting is to determine whether or not it's consistent with the concept, it's consistent with the comprehensive plan. That's what the Plan Commission is going to recommend, yes or no, to the village board.
If it goes on from here, then the next leg of this would be to come back to the planning commission and look at the site-specific details like we did with the previous project. That was the second time that project had came to the planning commission.
I'd also like to point out that you see the staff comments. Well, one of the things the staff does is look at it before the plan commission does and start directing some of the things that they would see. And I think what they did in this is try to be very non-biased but point out possible problems like the limited green space or the setbacks or, you know, and that's all in here, kind of pointing the plan commission also to be aware of those things. And it's normal for the staff, all different areas of the staff, to review those things to, you know, get a feel if it's even possible to do the project before it comes up to the planning commission. So, is that correct?
That's correct.
And just one final comment. In regards to the vacating of an easement, that was the cul-de-sac. That cul-de-sac would have had to be vacated. So that's what that kind of problem.
Okay, great. Looks like we have another comment. Can you please step up to the microphone?
So, Allison Frazier, 2516 Picard Circle. Two comments to the Plan Commission. First, thank you for making the motion and moving this along. And the second is that, you know, there's 30 people who've been here for an hour. For the record, in your minutes, could you add a piece about the uniqueness of this one-acre parcel, which is surrounded by three sides with Zone A, Residential A, and that any future requests, please honor on behalf of the residents in that honor the A zoning, which would really save many families great, you know, avoid so much stress. Thank you very much.
Yep, your comments will be in the minutes, ma'am, so that's not a problem.
My name is Mark Seawall. I'm at 2521 Martha, which is just up the street. I had a couple of questions for Trevor. Trevor, who owns the roundabout?
Is that
the building property? So if there was a sale of the two parcels by the owner of that, that would be different than the transfer of the roundabout to the developer?
Right.
So the village had to transfer that?
Right.
Would there be money involved in that?
Typically in the past when we vacated other right-of-ways, it's usually the person we're vacating it to covers the cost of the vacation process.
As it stands now, then those are two separate districts that are being requested? So they're two separate parcels, right?
Correct.
Okay. You know, the one thing I'd like to point out is that, I think Trevor, if I'm wrong about this, jumped in. Even in a high-density district, this is non-conforming. The houses are too small, so they need to be 1,000 feet for two bedrooms. The frontage is too small because it needs to be 100 feet and it's only 81. So we're kind of getting the worst of both worlds here. We're getting something thrown at us that if it was in a high-density district, wouldn't meet your guys' great standards. And at the same time, if the PDD is allowed, you know, we're getting worse scenario than we have if we just were in a high-density district, which we're not. We're in a, you know, residential A. So that it makes it hard. It kind of is just indicating that it's not an appropriate spot for this type of development. And I agree with what one of you said, that it's not a bad concept to have these small homes for older people, easy to take care of and whatnot. It's just not the right spot for it. And I question, too, under the ordinances, when you have adjacent PDD districts, there are limitations on what can be done in terms of development. At least that's my understanding of the ordinance. And I don't think it would comply with some of the requirements. I think you can only develop half of the adjacent PDD district. I may be wrong about that, but I think there are some requirements when you have adjacent PDD districts in terms of development. So I think it fails on a lot of accounts. And the set-offs, frankly, I mean, especially for the people that are behind, those setoffs are way, even in a high-density district, they're way short of what they have to be, as would be the front and the rear would be way short of what they have to be. So it's just not a good tract of land for this development that he's proposing. I agree with whatever else said, too, about the development and the character of the neighborhood. But I think it's got some real ordinance problems as the ordinance is written now.
Thank you. Okay. Jim. Okay. Please try to keep comments unique if possible.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'm a history buff and a realtor. Old Alloway is unique, and I am concerned that the notice that went out did not entirely replicate the paragraph that was referenced in the notice. Section C of the PDD says under the process that the purpose of the plan district development, and I'll abbreviate it, should not be detrimental to the character of the neighborhood. And that whole paragraph, not just parts of the paragraph, if you're going to send out part of a statute, you got to send out at least the whole paragraph. So that paragraph needs to go out so everybody here understands that the character of the neighborhood is important when considering a PDD. So that whole paragraph, you don't have to repeat the whole thing, but just the paragraph. Also, with regards to spot zoning, I really object to using the PDD process to bypass our zoning ordinance. Our residential zoning ordinance seems to be working well. People in the A district like having setbacks in residential homes, and I'd be very upset if my next-door neighbor knocked down his house and then all of a sudden a big apartment complex went in on it. So we have zoning. Our zoning ordinance, as far as the residential, zoning A and zoning B, is working, and I don't think we should use the PDD process to get around the single-family zoning and allow multifamily into a single-family neighborhood. Thanks.
Thank you.
Just as a point, Trevor, isn't the PDD process defined by state law?
I believe it is. It's not. The process is kind of determined more or less by us, but the art of having an overlay district is a state law thing.
Okay.
Hello, Kathy Rondo, 2515 Scott Circle. I've been neighbors to McCormick Place. They are a good neighbor. When you are comparing it, you're saying I'm by multifamily, and you compare what's being done on this property. Remember, McCormick has adequate parking for their residents. I've never had a problem, and I'm right across from them, of having someone park, block my driveway. Look at the streets that are around there. They're small, they're narrow, so if they do put in multifamily, they've got to accommodate for the cars that are going to be living with those units. And also my concern is as new developments for this parcel come about, I found out through one of my neighbors. So what is the notice process so I know the next time this comes back around?
Sure. Trevor, do you want to comment on the letters? And
property owners within 200 feet are notified.
Okay, so I'm probably not 200 feet because I'm across the street.
No, I couldn't see. Okay. If you didn't receive the notice, then yes.
Okay.
Probably
correct.
Also, Trevor, didn't you mention that we don't have to notice?
Not at this stage.
At this stage.
When it would go to the village board for final approval, that would be a public hearing. Mm-hmm. And then we are required to, by state statutes, to notice.
So you notice to people just out of courtesy?
Correct. It's like an opportunity. Debbie Bainan, our clerk, has an email list. And this was also shot out on her email list, so that may be an opportunity to learn about these projects in the future if you join her email list.
That's a good idea. Okay. If there are no more comments, I'll entertain a motion to return back to normal session. We have a motion.
Second.
And a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we are back in normal session. We heard a lot of great comments. If there are any additional comments or anybody wants to kind of pile on, we certainly can. Or we can entertain a motion to deny the petition.
I would just like to make one comment. I know all of these people that are here were under a lot of stress for the weekend, and you know, we're sorry that happened, and but we're glad you turned out to represent your properties. So thank you for all being here.
Absolutely. It's nice. Okay. And actually, just a point of parliamentary procedure. Will we entertain a motion to approve and then deny it, or will we motion to deny and approve it? Done it both ways. I don't remember which one's right.
Motion to deny.
Motion to deny?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or you just have to say in your motion why you're denying it.
Okay. I guess I'll entertain a motion to approve or deny. If you are going to make a motion to deny, I recommend that it's due to the incompleteness of the project description. Or something else. I'm just throwing an idea. Trying to help you guys out. Whatever else you want.
I make motion to deny that the project doesn't fit the property.
Thank you, Penny. It's in my bathroom.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
I second it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the motion carries. Trevor?
I just want to remind everyone, this will be back at the June 7th board meeting, so if please come and the board can hear your comments as well. You might just die. If the board does deny it, it does not inhibit the petitioner filing again. The Planning Commission board can go through this motion as many times as they want. Petitioner has that right to file a petition. So just so that's clear as well.
Fantastic. So, where was I before? I think motion carries to deny the petition. Again, it's going in front of the village board. The comments that were raised tonight, I'm sure they'll be summarized and provided to the village board. So hopefully they'll have enough time to review all those. And then the comments from Mr. Young, those will go into the minutes also, the written comments. So we should be covered there. Was there anything else that wanted to be, or anybody wanted to enter in? That's pretty much all of it, right? Okay. Good. Moving on to item number 10. All right. Update of bicycle and pedestrian plan.
This is just a real quick update. I know the Planning Commission asked a while back to be kept up to date as far as where we are in the process with the bicycle and pedestrian plan. This is a modified timeline we're looking at, and hopefully we can stick to it. Originally, we were planning for anywhere from 12 to 18 months for this project. It's looking like it might be 17. So right now we're in draft preparation. We're still working on that. Hopefully we'll have a rough draft by the end of June, at which point we'll have an open house probably tentatively July sometime. And then from there, then we'll come back to the ad hoc committee and have them recommend a final draft to the village board, kind of concurrently with Planning Commission, Public Works, and Parks and Rec Committee also reviewing the final draft. I think conservatively November would be appropriate. Could be later, could be sooner, hopefully sooner.
but November by the time it's approved by the village board.
What do you think, Roger? How's it going?
I haven't been there for the last couple of meetings.
Okay.
Schedule conflicts, but I think it's moving along the way it should. I mean, it's got devoted staff time, which is what counts in getting a plan developed. So.
Good. Okay. I guess we'll see something. Looks like maybe June, July from the committee? It'll be an open house? Will we get any kind of documentation prior to that? Or?
And like send out an email?
Yeah, sure.
Just notifying you of the open house?
Yeah.
Will the draft document be placed online so that...
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Good. Any comments for Trevor on the bike bed? Keep up the good work.
Thanks.
All right. Item number 11, next meeting date and agenda items. So the next meeting date would be June 6th. Is that correct, Trevor?
June
6th?
Is that the end of June? 26th, maybe.
You're right. It's end of June. Because I thought the village board meeting was in 6th. So the second village board meeting was the 14th?
27th?
The 27th.
Okay.
27th. Does anybody have any additional agenda items besides what's going to be brought to us?
I'm sure Trevor will find stuff.
Something will pop up between now and then. What was the status of the sign code? Did that get approved by the village board?
That did not make it to the village board. Unfortunately, with that, we had to do a sign survey, according to our attorney,
okay.
Which is pretty time intensive. So we're looking at our options as far as how to complete that.
Okay.
As soon as we get that done, then I'll go through the village board.
Okay, that's good. I guess where I was going with that is one of our long-term objectives is to look at the zoning ordinance. And when we see, are there any other additional agenda items to add? Maybe it's not discussion of zoning ordinance, but it's maybe a discussion on how we even start the process or how we get the village board engaged in maybe not this budget year spending any money, but maybe the next budget year and what that looks like. Does that sound reasonable, Brad, for something to Trevor to work on? You know, I don't want to give you more work than what you got, but if we are going to get that moving, and plan commissioners, if you agree with me, of course, you can or not, you can certainly say, but we need to get started soon because it's a 36-month project. Okay, so if you could just draw something up on what kind of process or whatever else. I think it's a big step with the sign code. We might as well keep going with the momentum.
Maybe we should just point out, too, that one of the things we're looking at with the zoning code is to make sure it's in line with our comprehensive. But currently, our zoning code makes some of our comprehensive plan not possible. So they don't connect. So we need to get our zoning code in line with our comprehensive plan.
Right.
Okay. Anything else that anybody else would like to see on the agenda for the next meeting?
I should just add to that, because that's one of the items that was thrown out, I shouldn't say thrown out, presented as potential use of the sales tax fund.
Sure.
The sending out a postcard to all the residents, asking them to please go online and fill out a survey to help with the determination of where these funds should go.
What is that survey going to have on it? Economic development? Is it going to be vague, or is it going to be that specific, like zoning ordinance?
No, it's the three criteria that the money was given back for: debt reduction, tax relief, or economic development.
Right.
And then we'll have, or a combination of all or other, and we'll let the residents give input.
Okay.
Certainly didn't want to rush this whole aspect because we're in no hurry to try to spend the money. We just want to, if we do spend the money, we want to make sure we're spending it wisely.
Sure, absolutely. Yep. Yeah, that'd
just
be...
Let me comment about... I'm a little concerned about a survey process because I think we've already seen what the results will be based on comments that have been made before the village board at different listening sessions. Most people are going to want some sort of tax relief or get their water bills reduced. I mean, you can almost estimate the, exactly what those are, not exactly, but roughly what those responses will be from a survey. Question is, are there some distinct needs, potential things we could do in the village to improve its viability? And this is not an example, except to say I know my property value has gone down, both market rate and assessment going down, my taxes going down, it's fine. But market value has also gone down. So I think there are issues with Alloway that we need to look at that I don't think most people are truly aware of. We know we've got some involvement, occasional involvement when there's a specific issue, but I'm not confident that we'll get results from a survey that we can leverage to the best use of these funds that will benefit Alloway in the long run.
I understand where you're coming from, Roger, but I also think it's our due diligence to reach out, and this is the best method.
Mm-hmm.
That individual homes will receive a postcard inviting them, excuse me, to complete the survey, as well as there's a few other things on this postcard. But that way, I think when the decision is made on how the funds are going to be spent, mm-hmm. we can all look back and saying we've done what we could do to engage the public. So that's what we're really looking for. Someone might have that $704,000 or $719,000 idea out there that just hasn't presented it yet. So, but I understand what you're saying. Exactly.
It's a tough spot. I believe the city of Green Bay is looking at a referendum. I think that's on their agenda for tomorrow night at city council meeting. They're going to discuss the potential for a referendum to decide what to do with the property or the sales tax dollars. It's a tough thing. I don't can be the village board in making these decisions because you're going to paint yourself in a corner any way you look at it. So,
just a question about that survey. Is it an online survey that people will take, or
yes.
Is it a, okay?
If you do not, and that's why we're mailing them to each home, because if you do not have access to a computer, we can have some here that people can fill out.
Okay.
Make sure that those get included.
Maybe just, I know there are, you know, obviously a wide range of residents in Alloway, but and some subscribe to the emails, things like that, that Debbie sends out, but maybe even a link on, like, Facebook and things like that just for residents that are more technological that can access that is probably a good thing, too. Then you can reach a broader audience as opposed to just a postcard. A lot of people don't look at that kind of stuff in the mail, so...
There'll be more information coming out. In fact, we're looking at trying to gain a little better understanding about the makeup of the community. How long have you lived here,
yeah.
For instance? Do you rent or do you own?
Right.
So, you know, we can start to tie some of that together. Because if you're getting a response, and I don't know how to say this without sounding, you're brand new to the community and you want the money returned to you, you know what I'm trying to get at, I guess, so
yep.
Kind of.
Yep.
So it's nice to get a feel for who is replying to the email or to the survey to help generate some additional information. If that makes sense, did I say that correct?
Yes.
Correct enough.
I think, yeah.
Yeah.
We get it.
Yeah.
Just proceed with caution. okay, so maybe we can have something about the zoning ordinance on the next agenda. that'd be something I think we all are excited about going forward and needs to get done sooner rather than later. So regardless of sales tax funds or not, it's the village's responsibility to keep its own house clean, whether or not we have a grant or anything else. So we'll continue down that path. Okay. If there's nothing else, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Motion carries. We are adjourned.